Alrighty. Good evening, everyone. My name is Courtney Gallagher, and I am a landscape architect and associate with Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the civil engineering and landscape architecture firm working with the developer Chesapeake Real Estate Group to develop the subject property. Tonight, we are here specifically to discuss the Belgrove sketch plan project, which will be submitted to the county in a few months. I'm joined this evening by Ed Brady with Chesapeake Real Estate Group, who will have a chance to speak a little bit later and introduce himself and his company. I will go through a brief presentation. I'll give Ed a chance to speak, and then we'll have a question and answer session. This meeting is being recorded in accordance with Anne Arundel County's community meeting requirements so that it can be included on the community meeting website tomorrow. This meeting is required per Anne Arundel County Subdivision Code, Section 17-2-107, which specifically states that a community meeting must be held within the 6 months prior to the initial submittal of a subdivision or preliminary plan. The developer intends to submit a sketch plan for the subdivision of this property within the next several months. The purpose of this meeting is to present information regarding the development proposal and to give the community an opportunity to ask questions and provide comments. Before I get into the details of the presentation, I would just like to make clear that this project is still in a very early design development phase, and the development team is working on refining the development proposal that will be submitted to the county. Therefore, many of the figures I will present this evening will be ranges because we're still working to finalize the proposal. That being said, I'm going to start with an overview of the existing conditions here on this exhibit. Belgrove is comprised of a total of 26 properties. They are outlined on this plan in a thick black line. Those properties include Tax Map 1, Block 23, Parcel 11, Tax Map 4, Blocks 5 and 6, Parcels 16, 26, 31, 610, and 332, Lots 1 through 21. In total, the project area is approximately 168 acres. The site is bounded by Baltimore and Annapolis Boulevard here to the east, a hotel property, Patapsco Park single family detached residential subdivision, Humphrey Recreation Center, and industrial zoned and used properties to the north, the Terrace View Mobile Estates, residential development to the east, Greens at Hammonds Lane apartment community, a medical adult daycare facility, vacant residentially zoned and county-owned properties, Hammonds Lane, and the Andover Heights single-family detached residential subdivision to the south. There is a 150-foot-wide Baltimore Gas and Electric easement that runs through the site. That easement contains lattice towers and overhead lines, transmission lines. Belgrove is a privately proposed project that, as I mentioned, is being developed by Chesapeake Real Estate Group. The land is privately owned by Belgrove Corporation, and it will remain privately held, and it's not going to be owned by the county, through this development. The property is a mixed zone. The majority of the property is in the W2 zone, which is a light industrial zone. The remainder of the property is in the R5 and R10 zones, which are both residential zones.
Excuse me. Do you have any handouts so we can see the maps?
I do not, but anyone is welcome to take pictures of the exhibits after the meeting. And I do appreciate your questions, but I ask if you could please hold them till the question and answer session.
Geographically understand.
Gotcha. A portion of the property here to the east is located within a targeted growth area, and the entirety of the property is within a priority funding area. The property is not located within the Chesapeake Bay critical area, or a bog protection area. The site is currently used as a mining site. There is an intermittent stream here in the north central portion of the property, along with a 100-foot stream buffer. There are six areas of non-tidal isolated wetlands here, 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 and then three along the BG&E easement here. Each of these wetland areas have a 25-foot wetland buffer associated with them. There is no FEMA 100-year floodplain on the subject property. There is an extremely tiny area of highly erodible soils here in the northeast section of the property that just skirts the edge of the property. It's about 600 square feet of highly erodible soils on the property. There are multiple forested areas. It's a little difficult to see, that are located throughout the site, but the majority of those forested areas are along the perimeter of the site. There's the largest section of forest is here in this north central portion of the site. The majority of the site has been mined and is either in active mining or is in unwooded areas. There are 21 specimen trees that have been identified on the site, the majority of which are located here along the east edge of the property. And there is one located here near the BG&E easement, and another specimen tree located somewhere here along this northern, there's a couple here, on the northern edge. Since the site has been mined, there are no naturally occurring slopes that meet the county's definition of steep slopes. If you look at this map, it looks like there are significant slopes on site, and there are, but those are all associated with the mining operation. There are no known rare, threatened, or endangered species habitats that are located on the subject property. There are no known historic resources, archaeological sites, or cemeteries located on the site. The Belgrove Road Pumphrey District, which is located to the north of the property, and includes parcel 11 and 610, is cataloged in the Maryland Historic Trust catalog number AA2360, but was not recommended for eligibility in the National Register of Historic Places. The site is not located within a protected or unprotected green infrastructure network, and all of the site-related features are based on a preliminary field delineation. That concludes the existing conditions. Now I'll move on to the proposed conditions. The site is proposed to be developed with both industrial and residential uses. A total of 850,000 to 1,050,000 square feet of warehouse will be proposed within multiple buildings. It's depicted on this plan with the sort of pale blue rendering. 500 to 600 townhomes and or stacked townhome residential units are proposed here on the east side of the property. The building structures, haul roads, and sediment control features associated with the mining operation will be demolished in order to facilitate the development of this property. The site has been designed utilizing a cluster strategy to locate the proposed development towards the center of the property so that a minimum 100-foot buffer can be provided around the warehouse portion of the development, and enhanced buffers can be provided along the residential portions of the property. The residential development will meet or exceed all required building setbacks. Where feasible, the perimeter buffers will be retained in existing forest. Within the buffer, where forest cannot be retained or does not currently exist, the intent is to reforest those buffers. This property will be subdivided as part of this development proposal. Up to 600 fee simple residential lots will be expected, And the warehouse portion of the property will be on at least one single warehouse lot, though it could be subdivided so that each building is on its own lot, but that has not been determined at this point. The townhomes, as I mentioned, are proposed to be on individual fee simple lots. Stacked townhomes would be condominium units that would be located on a single lot. A total of 10% of the units, which would equate to 50 to 60 total units, will be moderately priced dwelling units in accordance with Anne Arundel County's requirements. The residential units will be between 3 or 4 stories tall, and the warehouse buildings will be one story and up to 50 feet in height. Access into the site will be provided in two locations. One location here off of Baltimore-Annapolis Boulevard that'll provide access to the western part of the site and the warehouse development. Mm-hmm. And there'll be one access point here off of Hammond's Lane that will provide access to the east portion of the site and the residential use portion of the site. There is no connection proposed between the warehouse development and the townhouse development. They will be separate areas of development. The drive aisles within the warehouse development will range from 24 to 30 feet wide. There will be no public or private roads proposed within the warehouse portion of the development. Sidewalks will be provided to provide connectivity between the warehouse buildings and out to Baltimore-Annapolis Boulevard. Roads within the townhouse portion of the development will range from 24 to 36 feet wide within 26 to 52 foot wide rights of way. A road spur connection is provided here across the BG&E easement to provide access from the west portion of the residential development to the eastern portion of the residential development. Roads will be designed to provide vehicular access for passenger, delivery, and emergency vehicles throughout the site. All the roads here have essentially a loop, so that even though there's only one access point in and out of these developments, there's an opportunity to circulate through the entire development areas. Parking required for the 800,000 to 1,050,000 square feet of warehouse is 600 to 788 parking spaces. A total of 600 to 800 parking spaces will be provided within this warehouse portion of the development. The parking required for 500 to 600 townhomes or stacked townhomes is 1,250 to 1,500 parking spaces. A minimum of 1,250 up to 1,500 parking spaces will be provided within the townhouse portion of the development in a mix of garage spaces, driveway spaces, and on-street parking spaces. There is no open area required specifically for the warehouse portion of the development. The residential portion of the site is required to provide open area equal to 20% of the gross area of that residentially used property. That equates to approximately 17.3 acres of open space. Over 45 acres of open space will be provided with this development. A large portion of that is included in those buffers and this large area here to the north that is not being developed. Stormwater management will be provided for the site in accordance with Anne Arundel County's redevelopment criteria. County Code Section 17-7-1201, Subsection 1, cites that a site that is subject to a reclamation plan under state requirements qualifies as a redevelopment site. As a current mining site, this project qualifies for redevelopment, the redevelopment stormwater management criteria. The redevelopment environmental site design criteria will be addressed through the use of micro stormwater management practices such as microbial retention facilities and bioswales, which will be located throughout the site. They are depicted with smaller sort of blue hatches. These practices are small landscaped depressions similar in nature to rain gardens that handle stormwater runoff from small drainage areas around 1/2 acre to 1 acre maximum. They are designed so that they will hold water for no longer than 48 hours. The intent is for stormwater runoff to flow overland to these facilities where it'll have a chance to filter through layers of soil media and infiltrate back into the ground. Any water that does not infiltrate will be collected into a storm drain system and will discharge to one of the three proposed outfall locations along the north part of the site. Due to suspected downstream issues, it is anticipated that peak management will be required for this project. A detailed outfall assessment and downstream investigation, which will be reviewed by Anne Arundel County staff, will be prepared to determine the extent of any downstream issues and to confirm the peak management requirements. Multiple stormwater detention facilities, which are these larger blue shaded areas, are proposed throughout the site to address peak management, improve downstream conditions, and provide for adequate outfalls from the site. The anticipated limit of disturbance for this project is approximately 128 acres. School-age children within this development will attend North County High School, Lindale Middle School, and Overlook Elementary School. All three schools are currently open for enrollment. The project will be served by public water and public sewer, which will be extended into the site from existing public utility services in Baltimore, Annapolis Boulevard, and Hammonds Lane. The proposed development will result in impacts to the existing wetlands and wetland buffers on site. In particular, all or portions of the three wetlands located here adjacent to that Baltimore Gas and Electric right-of-way, and potential partial impacts to the wetlands located in these corners of the property. Mitigation for wetland disturbance will be met first with on-site plantings and, if needed, purchase of off-site forest bank credits. The proposal will also likely result in impact or removal of up to 10 specimen trees. This will allow for grading and utilization of the site. Those trees are predominantly, there's two I think here at the north, and then a couple of the trees here along the eastern edge, as
I'm
well
sorry,
as.
Could you speak up?
Sure,
thank you.
Mitigation for the removal of those specimen trees will be met first with on-site planting, and if needed, purchase of off-site forest bank credits. There are no proposed impacts to the existing stream and the north central portion of the site or the stream buffer. This project will likely need the following modification requests. A modification to allow impacts to wetlands, forested wetlands, and wetland buffers for those impacts I just mentioned. A modification to allow general forest clearing. This modification is required for any project that clears more than 1/2 acre of forest, which is pretty common for most development projects. A modification to allow specimen tree removal, and a modification to allow reduced active recreation land area based on providing physical amenities. A total of 4 to 4.82 acres of active recreation land will likely be required for this project. In lieu, approximately 2.75 acres of active recreation land area is proposed that will be improved with a community center and pool. Potential other features include playground areas, dog parks, seating areas, and lawn game areas. So that concludes my discussion of the proposed conditions. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about this community meeting process before I turn it over to Ed. As I mentioned, this meeting is being recorded. This recording will be provided to Anne Arundel County tomorrow so that it can be included on their community meeting website, and it will be uploaded tomorrow. At that time, a 14-day comment period will begin where people can review that recording and send in questions or comments. In addition to submitting comments through the website, comments can also be sent to community meeting comments at aacounty.org. If you need that, just come see me after the meeting. Reference Bell Grove in any emails. Once that 14-day comment period has concluded, the development team will prepare meeting minutes to send out to everyone who is in attendance, who signed up on the sign-in sheets, as well as anyone who was invited to this initial meeting. In addition to meeting minutes of this meeting, we'll also include copies of any comments that are received through the website or this email address, along with any responses. Once that meeting minute and comment package is sent out, that will conclude the community meeting process, and the developer technically able at that point to submit that sketch plan application. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ed Brady from I'm going to turn it over to him, and then we'll do questions. Thank you all.
Thank you, folks. My name is Ed Brady with Chesapeake Real Estate Group. Thank you for coming out tonight. We appreciate you participating in the process. You know, some of you have seen iterations of this property over the years. We're a local developer. Most of our partners, one of my partners was here earlier, I believe, are born and raised in Anne Arundel County. We all still live in Anne Arundel County. Our offices are right by the airport. We know this area very well. We understand your concerns and questions. Just want you to know who we are, where we come from, and we're open, you know, as we go through this process to questions and comments. Appreciate you. Thank you.
So with that, I'll open it up to questions and comments. So I'm going to go you first, and you in the back, and then we'll go from there. Go ahead.
I notice that we're going to have a high number of townhomes. The impact on Hammond's Lane, is there an indication we're going to have a traffic light putting up in there and a redesign of that intersection?
Has yet to be determined. We've done preliminary traffic studies. So any impact, I know there's issues on B&A Boulevard downward to Bell Grove and Camp Mead Road.
Right.
So there's a certain, they get ratings, is my understanding, at A, B, C, and D. And if our development doesn't degrade those, or if they're not lower than a D right now, then there's typically not, but there's a lot of times we'll do road widening, we've done traffic circles, we've done a lot, as I said, we've done a bunch of stuff here in Anne Arundel County, throughout Maryland. We had a really good project we did out off Solly Road. A couple years ago we bought a bunch of fly ash land from BGE, and there was happened to be a, on Solly Road, there happened to be part of the road that had a dip in it, that had some pretty serious accidents, and one girl passed away. We came in and made it a capital project with Anne Arundel County and took our road frontage money that we had to do and oversaw the redevelopment of Solly Road from the elementary school down to Nash Creek. So we understand those issues. They've preliminary been looked at. There'll be more detailed look at when we do the full traffic study.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that you have incorporated the fact that Hammond's Lane, Bell Grove, 648, that's all part of your design.
Correct, and then there's also, so in the traffic studies, they go out to certain intersections. There's a certain requirement that they have to go, I know they have to go to Hammond's Lane at Route 2.
Yes.
So they have certain lengths they have to go from the development itself. So there's stuff that could be further down, like Courtney mentioned on the stormwater, there's outfalls, like where that stuff eventually goes would have to be studied. So with the stormwater management, with the traffic, we have requirements done by the state and by the county that we have to then get our third-party consultants to do that. And then that's presented to Anne Arundel County, and then they come back to us and say, we need you to do A, B, C, D, E, F,
and
G. In the back. Okay. So I'm off Lindbrook Road to the right of the map.
Okay.
So if you go...
Across 895? Or... Where?
So if you go right on Lindbrook Road,
okay,
there are houses, but if you go left on Lindbrook Road, there's 6 houses, and it's supposed to be a cul-de-sac, but it doesn't say dead end, and the homeowners are telling me that you're going to open that to the houses,
yeah,
and I should do
that.
So that's why I came here today, just to get clarification.
Yep.
I didn't buy a house that I wanted open where a car is
going to be. We only have one, the two proposed.
The two proposed, and it would change.
Where are they?
So it's, there's one here on Hammond's Lane that's directly
where?
Directly.
Is that prior to the Greens?
Directly across from at Sunnyvale?
Sunnyfield Lane.
We're lining up with Sunnyfield. You'll have a
One at a time. Let's ask our questions one at a time. Let's let this woman finish. Please carry on.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, I'm just wondering. It doesn't say dead end on my street. The people in the neighborhood are saying because they're gonna open it up. I'm just trying to get clarification from you. Are they gonna open up the road? If so, I'm here to petition. Why not? And that's all I need clarification for first.
We don't have plans.
Because I've seen a lot of people. The people that are in the white trucks analyzing the road and the streets and stuff, they literally sit on my street to analyze.
Yeah, we haven't
questions or anything like that, but I've seen people come out and just stand there, like they're looking at the traffic, but they're also.
Yeah, we haven't done any studies. We did a study a couple of years ago. We haven't done any updated studies in time, nonetheless.
Okay, so I don't know who that is. Maybe that's DG&E.
Yeah.
But
you
I'm going to give somebody else a chance. Actually, what you were asking for. Go ahead.
So is there going to be a light there at Sunnyfield and Hammond's Lane?
We don't know if that's a requirement yet or not. Well, that'll be determined during the traffic study.
So the people will have to live
would
there
be
first
a traffic
or
light?
So you're going to have 600 townhomes and then you have to study?
It's all we can't make that determination yet. We submit all the information with the amount of trips and everything, peak and PM, and then that's dictated to us what we need to do.
That study and that assessment happens before a shovel's put in the ground. That's through the review process with Anne Arundel County. It's part of the review and ultimate approval process. So no, it won't. We don't have to wait until there's people there for them to understand what the traffic impacts will be and what type of mitigation might be required.
Just to follow up, one access is okay with police and fire?
It should be, yes. We've worked on multiple. So this has not been submitted to the county yet. Yes. It will be, and through that process. Emergency services will review the project and confirm whether or not this access is adequate. But based on my prior experience, yes, it's a subdivision with 500 to 600 homes. One access should be sufficient.
Sure. What is your timetable? This is the sketch plan, the preliminary site plan, and everything else that you have to do. What's your estimate that you're going to be able to put the first shovel in the ground or break ground?
In Anne Arundel County, by 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years?
At least. It's the process. I mean, we have 6 months to submit the sketch plan. It takes a minimum of typically 18 to 24 months to get it forward.
That's how long building.
Okay.
Sorry.
How long building?
Market driven on that, I believe.
Yeah, you spoke
about the school system that they would go to Lindale Elementary, Middle School, North County. So is the homes going to be zip code as 21090? Are they going to be considered Lithicum?
So that I can't answer. That's determined
by
the
coastline. That's what feeds into Lithicum Elementary. It's going to be 22225.
So per Anne Arundel County's current districting, this falls into those.
So that's multiple zip codes that you're talking about.
Yeah, I cannot speak to what zip code this will be in, but those are the schools that this property, the districts
all
for those schools affect.
Are already overflowed.
Yeah.
So that will be another assessment that the county will take on during the review process. Right now, the county school utilization chart they publish every year shows that those schools are open. It doesn't say how many seats are open. It just says they're open. But through that review process, they will determine how many students they anticipate will be a part of this development. There's some magic formula. And they'll whatever that number is, how many elementary, middle, or high school students, and they'll confirm if there is adequate capacity in the schools or not. That's all handled by the county. Is it here in the middle?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple questions. First of all, there is traffic problems along Belgrove Road, which is a feeder to the tunnel problems. When the bridge went down, everyone diverted down Belgrove and B&A Boulevard. There's already a traffic problem that occurs during rush hour every business day.
Seen it.
Which causes
my kid. My kid has played baseball games against Brooklyn Park.
And it's terrible.
At 6 o'clock.
It starts early in the morning and it ends for a couple hours in the middle of the day. It starts again at 2, around 1:30, and goes to 6, 7 at night. it costs emergency vehicles to be able to access that area. It's causing erosion on the sides of the roads. And then you've mentioned on that side, the easement of, that BGE has that goes down, you're not showing the water that sits below there that goes into the Patapsco. So you're talking about St. Charles Road, which was that border on the right-hand side. Along there is an easement that goes to BG&E that travels down past your chart, your site chart. That is water down there. That is a protected water
belt. So I think the portion you're speaking of is not part of this subdivision. It's off-site.
But it will impact that.
Right, and that'll be part of the stormwater management outfall assessment. We need to make sure that we're not increasing the amount of runoff that might contribute to some of those wet areas.
Yes.
So that is part, again, that's all part of the development proposal. It'll be reviewed and assessed by NRC.
Because there are more easements that run along there that are not listed, that are along property lines, that are running from the Belgrove Corporation down into that area along property lines. There are easements that they have taken that do run from Belgrove properties through that down to that lower portion where the water is. And what time of day do they do those traffic studies? Do they do them in the middle of the day when there's nobody there?
No, they do. They can only do them when school's in session. Mm-hmm.
Well, when school's in session, there's less traffic.
Correct.
When school is in session, you mean date-wise, or do you mean time-wise?
Like September through May.
Do they do them during the time
They're there for a full day. Cameras and or body counting cars.
Counting.
At multiple intersections, they go around, and there's a whole process that they do.
Well, they have to see the...
You said you had a couple of questions.
Those were two major. I've got a lot of other questions.
Well, I'm going to let this one right here have her hand up for a minute.
I just want to know if there's back up to that, like where I live. I can tell you there are hundreds, and I mean hundreds of deer. So where are they going to go?
So I can't answer where you know, deer go where they want to go, right? But this development includes, like I mentioned, over 45 acres of open space. So there will be open space that is retained on this property.
And open space means forested area.
Right.
See, you've already chased them everywhere. They have no place to go. They're coming across Hattie's Lane.
They're getting hit on the road, They're getting hit on the road. One got hit and ran into my property.
I live in Crownsville. I've been here a long time, too.
If we could keep the chatter down, please.
If you're talking about runoff, I'm going to come down to my property. I'll get the runoff from Bell Road. It's a pipe that comes under Bell Road, and they were supposed to maintain it. This was 2006. No one has maintained that property. The only one maintained is my son that makes her keep the grass and everything. We have two companies come and supposed to have maintain or put a better pipe. They have not done that. And if you go down further, the runoff is jammed up. And I'm not letting him go down there and try to unplug it. Because you can see what people up at Belgrove, they have their lunch and they throw the trash wherever it is, and it comes right down on my property. Even hubcaps have come through there. You talking about runoff? No. We've been going through this for years with this runoff from Belgrove. And as far as I'm concerned, Belgrove up there is toxic. And you can't tell me that it's not. That I wouldn't build a house up there if they gave it to me. No way.
So
that property up there is toxic. And every time we ask for help, nobody comes and asks, can we help you to get this mess straight? That property, that water that you see back there, my grandfather owned that. But when sand and gravel came in, they dug it out. They told him they was going to fill it in. They didn't. They took what they wanted and they left. And we get the runoff property all the time.
So
and the Belgrove Road is a mess. We have racist people racing up and down the road. And since that key bridge has been shut down, it is terrible. You cannot get delivery to your house. And I've seen the tractor trailers, the air brakes hitting, and your house rumbling. It is terrible. And then you got more stuff coming in, and it will forget Patapsco Park. We'll be squeezed out forever. And I'm so sick and tired of people coming in, and I'm coming, tell me what I need. This is what you need. No, you ask me what I want. And that property up there is toxic, and I wouldn't build a boat up there.
So, I understand what you're saying. I cannot speak to prior activities on the subject property, but I do know that when a property is redeveloped or is developed this way through the county, there's an opportunity for a lot of improvements to happen on sites. We talked about stormwater management. This redevelopment will have specific standards we need to meet, and they need to be addressed, and looking at downstream flooding, downstream erosion, the amount of water that's flowing off the site, all of that is part of the assessment, and it will be required to be mitigated on site so that we leave the surrounding area in equal or better condition than it is today. So,
what about the sewer infrastructure? Because we just had it just the other day where we were told not to take showers and everything because they couldn't handle it. And you're going to add this into it?
So that adequacy of public utilities is another aspect of the project that will be reviewed through Anne Arundel County. So when this project is submitted, we'll prepare what they call an EDU worksheet, estimated daily use, and that will estimate how much water will be utilized by this development. The county will review that. They'll plug it into a model they have of the entire county, and they'll assess whether there is capacity within the existing infrastructure to support the project.
Apparently there's not, if they're telling us not to take showers.
Was that I don't know about that
something
incident.
Something like that, could that shut you down? Doing this development, if it's going to deal with the water,
if there's not adequate capacity, then the developer would either have to improve capacity by some means, which there's different ways that can be accomplished, or if there's no way to update or upgrade the system, then potentially yes, but optimally the developer would work with the county to find ways to improve the infrastructure.
Thank you.
Sure, gentlemen here.
My thing goes back to the schools. The reason why there's openings is because they bust other kids out to Glenburnie to open up North County to do this crap.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. My son, my grandson was within 5 minutes of that school of North
That's
County.
Good,
now he has to be bused to Glenburnie.
Yeah.
How's that fair? So you can open up and do that?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
I hear your frustration, but that decision
wasn't the power grid, we're going to add that many more homes and three warehouses to it?
Yeah.
Great. Good. We'll really get brownouts. Can't wait for it.
We're already getting traffic problems on Hammond's Lane. It's like it's Route 2 Ritchie Highway.
That's correct.
There's so many cars from the townhouses they built up there, condos, whatever it is, at Route 2 and Hammond's Lane. Then you have that new facility for the seniors, which is great. But there's been a lot of building on there, and now you're coming in with this and saying, oh, it's 1,500 cars, parking spots. Well, guess what? Where's them 1,500 cars going to be but on B&A and Hammond's Lane?
Yeah, as I mentioned, that's going to be assessed as part of the traffic.
We already assessed it for you. We're living it.
That's fair. But the county will help this development identify opportunities to improve and mitigate for that increase in traffic. Excuse me, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum here in the blue?
I just have two quick questions and comments. First of all, my easy one is there is not a walkable sidewalk along Hammond's Lane from Sunnyfield to B&A Boulevard.
Correct.
Houses there, some of them are built right there, so don't come in and say public domain is going to take their property.
They will.
Not nice. Second thing, why do you have to keep building on every square inch where there's grass?
That's
why can't we have open spaces? Nature needs that to keep our oxygen and carbon dioxide down. Because I agree so much that you have to keep stuffing their pockets with money to build a ridiculous number of houses on such an unattainable area.
Amen.
Especially northern Anne Arundel County. Why don't you go to southern Anne Arundel County?
Yeah, we've got a 212.
Pittman's got plenty of property in southern.
Go to Brownsville. Build in Brownsville.
All I can say in response to that is the state of Maryland, as said by state officials, is still in a housing shortage. I work all over Anne Arundel County. I'm telling you what we've heard from our officials, right? The state of Maryland is in a housing deficit, and I do work. And we do work all over this county. There are, I understand your frustrations for sure, but this isn't the only section of the county that is being developed.
What other ones are?
We have projects all around the county.
Where?
Tell us.
Maryland City. We've got projects down in Severna Park. I mean, there are development projects.
Yeah, and they're fighting like hell to block that too.
There was some
they'll win, but we'll lose.
Yeah.
So I've lived here all my life. I grew up on Ian Boulevard down by Nursery Road, and we've always had a problem with runoff. I live on the south side on the end of Hammonds Lane. There is three drainage. I live off of Hammonds Court. There's one to our right when we come out of Hammonds Court. There's one to the left, and there's one right across from Lindbrook. That is the only runoff on the right side of the street if you're coming south that is a drainage until you get past probably 895, okay? So everything that comes down Hammonds Lane comes to those drains, which comes down through my backyard. I have videos when it rains hard, and I stop the project right on Hammonds Lane at the end because they were going to build houses and other stuff there because the runoff is so bad that my backyard floods. And when that backyard floods, then that runs down to 648. When 648 runs down, it goes down to Bell Grove, down to 648, the Nursery Road, down to Patapsco. And it's been that way since I've been a little boy.
I've heard about the train bridge and
yes.
Everything.
Yeah. What we're going to run into is the same thing this Ellicott City had, where all those people down on that end is going to get wiped out by a big flood. Because there's nowhere to run that water. Because if they would have, if there's anywhere to run the water, they would have ran it for years. But just like that lady over there said, it has been an absolute mess for a very long time. I'm 55, and I'm telling you, it's been that way ever since I've been a little bit. So,
just to speak to the B&A portion of it, of the frontage, and I do know I don't believe there's any storm drains that run down that part of B&A. That will most likely be a requirement of us to capture and improve. So, there's trade-offs to a degree, as into developing a property and not developing a property. If nothing is done, nothing will probably be done outside of the property. If stuff is done, typically there are requirements outside of the property to mitigate. In my historic past, over the last 20 years of developing properties, and we've taken even like old, you know, we've gone through voluntary cleanups through MDE and taken chromium sites and redeveloped and pulled all chrome out, capped them, and made them into warehouse. We took the old Unilever laundry detergent manufacturing plant next to the old GM plant that had shuttered, been around since the 1920s. Took it through the whole voluntary cleanup, built three brand new buildings there. So there's a lot of requirements that you guys don't really see.
I get the point of you're taking a bad place and making it better.
Trying to.
When you're dealing with water, it's where do you put it?
Let's just say, so by law, we're not allowed to.
Because even down like, okay, so if you go under the trestle where the light rail goes, heading towards Lakefront, where John's Body Shop is, that has been a flood area forever. And nobody, because you have the Lipscomb neighborhoods up there, that all that flows down to the same street. So everything flows down right to that area. There's nowhere to put that water.
and it erodes the street.
Absolutely.
If you look at 170, there's always a hole by the hotel because the roadway washes away.
There's nowhere for it to go,
road,
so it creates
and it never gets.
So I can't speak to all the runoff that's potentially contributing to the issues you're speaking about, but on site, what I can say is these, what I was speaking of, the peak management facilities, the water would be collected in those facilities and slowly released instead of a flood or a deluge of water that happens with storms now. That is the whole premise behind peak management, is that water, large quantities of water can be stored for a significant period of time and released slowly, so that instead of all that water at once, it's over time. So that it doesn't get rid of the water, it just doesn't. It lessens the impact on downstream sites.
Did you say 48 hours?
So there's
that's
two.
Not a significant amount of
water. I'm sorry. Let me clarify. There's two types of stormwater being proposed that are required on this, that will likely be required on this site. There's environmental site design, which is quality management. Those facilities treat the smaller storms, like a one-year storm and less, and those facilities only hold water for about 48 hours. That, again, those are only meant to treat small storms. The peak management facilities are like what you think of as a traditional stormwater management pond you drive by with the concrete and metal risers. Those facilities are meant to hold water for a significantly longer portion of time. It depends on the intensity of the storm, but those facilities it's not so much how long they hold them, but how much water they're permitted to release at a time. So they hold a significant amount of water, but only release a small portion, a small quantity of water at a time, over time. So that could be a day, 2 days, a week, it depends on the size of the storm event.
Training down in the ground where you're going to develop from, so that's going to make like a marshland. I mean, it's not going to, you say you're going to release it in the ground or on ground, right?
That gets slowly over time so that the ground has a chance to allow that to infiltrate. Streams have a chance for that to flow into it slowly in a non-erosive manner. Yes, I mean, all water eventually ends up either in the ground or in a water body, but the idea is that if it's slowly released, it's not overloading those systems. It allows them to sort of function more like a natural drainage system. Actually, there's some folks right here who've had their hands up in the tan coat.
Can you, for the group, define two terms you use? Specimen tree removal, and forest credit.
Yes.
You threw them out. Can you define them?
Sure. A specimen tree is a tree that's over a certain diameter in size. It's usually 75% of the champion tree of that species, or 30 inches, whichever is smaller. So most of these trees on site are 30 inches in diameter or greater. And that's essentially what makes them a specimen tree.
And the forest credit?
Forest credit. So a forest credit is usually it's an off-site bank, a forest bank that's been proposed or planted by a landowner. They place that forest in easement, protected easement, and then they essentially sell credit. So if you can't, if a property or project...
You can't meet the criteria. You use credits from another area so you get approved.
That's correct.
That's essentially what BGD does. And I'm retired from there, and I did that quiet, by the way. And I can tell you a lot of things about it. So.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
The woman.
Back
to the schools. So you can say that the public facilities tests, are basically just going to make it so that schools aren't overcrowded and you have enough. Whatever. But with the schools, it really isn't true, because there was legislation passed in 2023 that basically said that if a school is at 100%, which we know Door County isn't yet, it's at 96%, I believe they have about 90 seats available. If North County gets to 100%, cluster is still not considered full because Glen Burnie.
that doesn't help anybody who is districted for North County until they redistrict again, which is an enormous process. Takes years. So it really is, I mean, it's a complete failure on the part of the county.
They don't redistrict it. They just yank the kids and put them out of different schools.
They bust them to
but
a different
still
area.
But that still takes time,
no.
Is what I'm saying.
It took, them, taking my grandson.
I'm not sure how to respond to your statement. I mean, I hear your frustration, and I understand where you're coming from. But we don't make this team doesn't make the school utilization chart. We don't make the rules about how.
I'm just saying, as far as I'm responding to what you had previously said about that'll be mitigated. That there'll be some sort of that they'll make sure that our schools aren't completely overcrowded.
As an example,
I
have a project that I'm working on where there isn't sufficient capacity in the project, and the project isn't moving forward the way it was originally proposed because there's not capacity. That's a hold. That's a stop. So, I don't know.
Where would that be, honestly? Because based on what I've read online, there's only one. Is it near Odenton or?
No, it's not near Odenton. I think it's in Glen Burnie area.
Okay.
So,
because if you look at the schools that are on wait lists, there aren't any.
Yes.
Because every school is near a school that has capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that's not really where the kids are going to go, at least not right when the projects are being built, and they're going to wait for it to go over 100%. And then they go, then maybe they don't, if North County and Glen Burnie are both at 100%, then maybe they don't, approve any more developments, but don't they only have to wait? And then
correct.
Even if the school is overcrowded, they can still build a development.
Right. That is correct. So we've only got about 6 minutes left, so I want to give some folks who haven't had a chance to ask questions have a chance. Go ahead here.
Like a two-part question. What is priority funding zone, and how does it affect this project? And the other thing, while us living in this area, the things that we really worry about are the enforcers. There could be requirements, and we hear some of the requirements. We've listened to some of the requirements by this organization and that part of the organization in the county. But we know that the enforcement is the problem. Because once we get into depths of something like this going on, with the water pouring down toward Patapsco, the basin of the Patapsco River, that's right there north of your chart up there, that's the pumping community, and that water flows down to this basin at Patapsco River. But those that go travel up and down Belgrove Road, you'll see that waterway that Ms. Simmons was just talking about. The problem is enforcement. Once we get into the calamitous areas of this stuff, with our children being affected, with our traffic being affected, the problem is to get the county to enforce its own requirements so that we are not subject to predatory, big money contractors who just come in and do what they have to do and leave us with the problems, and we are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years trying to get the situation straightened out. That's our problem. Yes.
Your questions and your concerns. So let me answer your first question first. So priority funding is a designation where for properties that are priority for infrastructure funding. That's only a small portion of this project here, but it does have an impact on the forest conservation requirements for the site. It changes the percentage of requirement by I think about 5%. With respect to enforcement, I definitely understand your frustration. I think one of the challenges that you're seeing here is that there's a lot of properties that aren't being developed. There's no way for the county to force change on some of these properties and some of these conditions. With this development, it's going to be reviewed by the county. There's going to be requirements that are in place. Any of the improvements that are required are going to be bonded through the grading permit or public works process. Once those improvements are installed, they're going to be inspected by inspectors, and the developers won't get their bond money back until the county says, yep, you did it per the approved plans. So in this case, this isn't a site that's existing and they're not asking for anything from the county. These developers are asking for approval to build this development. So they're at the county's, not whim, but they're beholden to the county's requirements. And if they don't meet those requirements, the project doesn't go forward. So they have an incentive to meet those requirements. So that's that. So who is not? So even the people you already had a chance. So I'm going to the lady in gray there in the back.
So you're sharing with us what you're proposing, so we're informed. Can you give us a timeline? Because what we need to do now is we need to stay on top of the county and our elected officials. That's difficult for us to do because we don't know when something's going to county council or what. So can you give us at least some kind of timeline so we know to kind of when we need to take action and determine who we need to contact?
Sure. So this project, this is, like I mentioned, a pre-submittal community meeting. So nothing's been submitted. But within the next 6 months, we would anticipate submitting a sketch plan. That sketch plan is sort of step one of a county's three-step process, okay? So once that sketch plan is submitted, it goes through review with the county and a lot of these agencies that we've alluded to during this discussion. And ultimately, we would hope, during sketch plan, we typically, adequacy of public facilities is assessed. So that's gonna be roads, water and sewer, outfalls or stormwater management, schools, and a missing.
Transportation.
That's roads.
Is there an environmental protection type of plan where they can look at the runoff at what's on that land now?
Yes, that'll be part of this.
Impact study. That's it. Environmental impact study.
So there's a wetland delineation that'll be done, a forest stand delineation that catalogs what's on the site, some of those existing environmentally sensitive features. And then as part of the stormwater management assessment, we'll prepare it's called a POI study, but essentially it assesses all the drainage that comes into the site, runs off the site, where the key points where drainage leaves the site, and then we have to do a detailed walk photo tour of all the drainage ways leading to essentially where that water at interfaces or is included in a larger water body. So there's going to be outfall assessment. So it's not an environmental assessment specifically the way you were speaking, but there's multiple pieces that essentially address all of those aspects. So just to finish with the sort of timeline and overview, so that sketch plan is reviewed and adequacy of public facilities would be assessed, and assuming the project passes all of those tests, we would receive approval and we can move on to step two. That in this case would be a final plan. So a final plan is has more detailed engineering and a subdivision plat. After the initial submittal of that final plan application, the developer would have to come back and do another community meeting, and everybody here would be invited again, where we would present any changes to the plan and any updated stormwater assessment and such.
Excuse me, can I ask a question really quickly to piggyback off of that timeline question?
Sure.
Is there a dashboard that we can go to kind of track whatever like this timeline we're talking about?
So there... So I don't, there is, the county does have a website where you can review the, they outline the development review process. I don't have that website available, but if you search Anne Arundel County Development Review, you should be able to find it. And I'll include a link to that webpage in the meeting minutes, but I don't have that website available this evening.
But you did state at the beginning of the meeting that we have a 14-day window to make comments. What is that website so that we can make our comments?
So, and I apologize, I don't have the web address, but if you search for Anne Arundel County Community Meeting, search Anne Arundel County Community Meeting, it will take you right to that website. You're going to look for Bell Grove. There's a calendar, you can find tonight's meeting, and you can provide comments.
And we have 14 days.
That's correct.
Can you provide us your name and information?
Sure, my name is Courtney Gallagher. And my email address is C, and then my last name is Gallagher, the letter C, and then Gallagher. That's Gallibber at MRAGTA.com. I would like to say that anybody is more than welcome to email me. But I highly recommend emailing through the county, because anything that comes to me is not only an official record. Anything through the county website is documented. So I highly encourage using the community meeting website and that email address that I provided earlier, which I can provide again, because that is the official way to submit your comments that the county will see.
But I think the goal is that if we make contact with you, that we'll be able to.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's right. I can get you the information. Yeah. So in the back with the green.
Can you define what moderate price housing is?
So, yeah, so to clarify, I said 10% of the total units, which would be approximately 50 to 60 units, not 50 to 60%.
50 to 60
units. So moderately priced dwelling units are homes that are sold, and I don't want to butcher this, I don't have the definition in my head here, but essentially they're homes that are sold at a price point that a household that's, I believe, 80%, that makes 80% of the median income for this region could afford.
It's
so
it's a deed restriction also. So those houses it's different for sale homes and for apartments. But it's a deed restriction, so that house, if it goes to sell again, it's for, I forget the timeline, 10 or 20 years or 30 years, has to be sold that meets that income threshold. So it's to help workforce housing, teachers, fire department, you know, people that are making lower salaries, people that are just getting out of college and stuff like that to be able to purchase a home.
So you say 80% of median income for Anne Arundel County or for
zip
code?
Anne Arundel County.
Okay, and can you tell me, are there other developments being planned of this size?
was a legislation that was passed last year. It was countywide.
Right, but I'm saying the size, the 500 to 600.
Yeah, I mean, I know out in out by Belt, out off Solid Road, they put in for 3,000 units recently.
Solid Road is where you're talking about.
Solid and Franklin and Fort Smallwood.
Okay, I'm talking Crownsville.
Savannah Park just has one for 180. Yeah. I mean, like no, I mean, it's where there's developable land still.
Okay, what you guys were a little bit over time, so I'm gonna just take one. There's a lady here in the blue. I'm gonna take her
question about the scale plan. Will you include the Forest Conservation Plan and modifications you're requesting? Will that be submitted with the sketch plan?
So the sketch plan does not include the forest a formal forest conservation plan. We will it'll delineate where forest conservation easements are proposed, and the forest conservation worksheet will be included on the sketch plan. But the formal and final forest conservation plan is submitted with the final plan, the second step, the final plan application package. But there will be an assessment that's done and reviewed by the county through the sketch plan process. It's just a preliminary assessment.
So if the sketch plan is approved by the county, then that means the forest conservation plan is approved also? Or is that
No, that is, it's a preliminary evaluation saying we agree with the amount of forest that's being required. We generally agree with where you're potentially placing it, but it's not the formal and final approval. That plan will be reviewed in detail with the final plan application, the second step of the process.
When the warehouses on the B&A Boulevard side, are they flex warehouse buildings or park warehouses?
To be determined. I mean, it's speculative warehouse. We're talking to some users in the market for build-to-suits. So there are some groups in this area that want to own, but they would be a possible combination of flex or bulk.
Because I know there's a lot of flex in the county that's vacant. Then why would you want to put more warehouses when you have all this flex? Warehouse, up Belt Road, down Nursery Road, and they're vehicles. My reason I'm asking this question is I'm trying to determine the vehicle that would be going in and out on B&A Boulevard, the industrial site. Are there going to be tractor trailers coming in and out on that and that B&A side? Typical traffic or small truck that you get with less.
Yeah, it's to be determined. I mean, we've done big bulk buildings where it's small spinner vans that go in and out. So it really depends on the tenant, and it's not determined yet.
Last question. We're almost done, folks. If we could please keep the chatter down so that folks on the recording can hear this, please.
I know there's a green area there between the warehouses and the residential proposal. Is there any impact to the residents from the warehouses? Like, I'm sure there's some kind of toxic thing.
So we would expect not. I mean, optimally, we would hope that any user isn't illegally dumping toxic. So that we would expect that there would be no impact from the warehouse users on the townhouse users.
What about the noise from the warehouses? Is it going to affect the houses?
They don't know yet.
So we're not the right at this point. The warehouse users have not been determined. This is about a 100-foot buffer between the edge of that parking field and those residential uses that, again, we're intending to forest. So there will be a pretty significant buffer between those two uses. Until a user is determined and actual traffic enters that site, it's hard to know what the noise impacts might be on these homes. All right, so with that, folks, sorry, we're over time with the library room. So I would like to officially close the meeting, but if there's additional questions, again, you can submit them through the website. You can come up and speak with our team for a little bit before we head out. So with that, it is 7:10, and I'm officially adjourning the meeting. Thank you all very much.
Can I find a phone at the sign-in table? Did anyone pick one up?
Thank you.